Good afternoon, Adam. Good to see you again. Haven't seen you for a whole week.
Oh, come on now. You've seen me plenty in the last week, but yeah, other folks haven't seen us for a week. So they're, yeah, it's good for them to see it and hear us again. It's good to be here. In this late January day, it's a good thing, right? We're plowing through some good stuff. And just got back from a little planning trip that we had. It was a good planning trip, and we got some inspiration on that trip, Jack. And we found inspiration.
That was good inspiration.
Well, we found it in some strange or different places, don't we, often? And so there was one spot you found a little inspiration while we were gone, Jack, that I was surprised by, but it made a lot of sense. And it was a very popular movie that people may have seen, or maybe, seen bits and parts of. But it's a movie called Rudy. Rudy.
Everybody has seen Rudy.
Is it?
Multiple times. I think it is.
It's required
watching?
It's
required for life. For life. It's a life requirement.
So here you are, Jack, watching this great story about this. It's based on a true story of a young man whose lifelong dream was to be a football player for Notre Dame. And he had some physical challenges in terms of he's not normally the size of what you would expect to see. He also had some intellectual challenges in terms of just being able to get into the University of Notre Dame. But that didn't stop him. But as you're watching and going through that story, you started to think about business, Jack. So tell folks in terms of kind of what kind of started to trigger for you, maybe a thought or two that kind of came into business, but what you were seeing as part of that movie and what was kind of going on there.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard to erase business thinking at this stage in my life, And you and I have been together for 20 years doing things for small businesses and the owners of small businesses. And it's embedded in our brains now to deal with those thoughts. They come when they want to come. Certain things trigger it. And it could be a lengthy trigger or it could be a short trigger. But yeah, so as I'm watching that movie, I've seen it a number of times and I love the movie. I really do. It gets me all welled up. And I think that's true with most people who see it. It's such a overcoming the odds kind of movie. So I'm watching it and my mind drifted to small businesses. And it drifted with Ned Beatty, who played the kid who was featured here, Rudy. He played his dad. And they all worked in a tough scrap town. They worked in a steel mill. And Rudy worked in a steel mill, and that was his future, basically, because that was his father's future, who worked in the steel mill, and his father's father. So Rudy was just bound and determined after the death of his buddy in the steel mill, an accident in the steel mill. He was absolutely determined beyond any doubt, just obsessed with the fact of getting into Notre Dame, playing football. And there was nothing that was going to deter him from doing that. Nothing. All the obstacles that he had in front of him, they came from a lower income family, and Notre Dame is a very expensive private school. And, to go from Notre Dame, go to Notre Dame from where he went, a public school in a small town, it just didn't happen. You don't do things that way. So he was bound and determined, and his father kept trying to talk him out of it, saying that it's not for us. These people are smarter, they're richer, they're better looking, they're everything. We don't belong there. And he refused to buckle under that pressure by his dad. And he took the bus to Notre Dame, literally walked in and got an audience with a priest and who became his mentor, if you will. And eventually he persevered and got into Notre Dame. And the point of our bringing this up today was talking about buying companies, and that thought came to mind. There aren't many people outside of you and I who encourage people to take chances in their businesses, to either buy a business or start one. In other words, we'll encourage anybody who says, hey, how do I do this? Do you think I should do this? The answer without thinking from you and I would be, hell yes, do it, give it a shot. But if they're talking to their loved ones or talking to their friends who basically have jobs. They're not going to hear that kind of encouragement at all. They're going to say, oh, man, start a business. Where are you going to find the time? Where are you going to find the money? To all kinds of reasons not to be able to do it or not to do it, not to even try. And the vast majority of the population is like that. They won't even try. It's stacked against them. Not enough money, not enough time. I don't know. I don't know the products. I don't know how to do this, how to do that. So they end up not doing it and having a job and generally have a miserable existence in many, many cases.
Right.
It's not the American dream, that's for sure. So, yes. So that thought was coming, buzzing through my mind while Rudy's trying to get into Notre Dame. And the story, it's a great story. I mean, I love that story for inspiration and can do.
Absolutely. And just for perspective for those younger folks in our audience, Jack, because they might be thinking, well, what's the big deal about trying to get into Notre Dame? Well, this is back in the 70s when Notre Dame was kind of the version of Alabama today, right? They were the powerhouse in terms of, so again, it's going to try to walk on to the top football program in the country for one, right? Not only just trying to go to any regular program, but as you're talking about it too, as you're mentioning it, you know, one of his key advisors was his dad, right? And his dad, even his brothers to a certain extent. And so here are these people who were advising him about his desire to go to Notre Dame. Very similar to people, like you said, Jack, people looking to start or buy a company. And often it's family. It's those, the family or even those close friends who are giving them guidance and advice. Unfortunately, those folks who are often given that advice, Jack, about the idea of starting or buying a company are often similar to Ned Beatty and his character in Rudy. Where here he is, well-intentioned, well-meaning, and trying to protect his kid and do its best for him. But here is a person who's never even stepped foot on the campus. Doesn't know what it looks like, smells like, feels like, even be on the campus of Notre Dame. He's been watching it on his TV, right? So here's a person who's never even been there, never done something like that. So you got to look at and try to decide, who do you take that guidance and advice from? Again, well-intentioned people are great, but if they've never been there, they've never experienced it. So your point, you talk about how, what does Rudy do? He gets on the bus, he goes right to Notre Dame. He befriends a priest who initially thinks that maybe he's considering becoming a priest, right? He realizes, oh, no, I'm just trying to get on the team here, Father, right? But he befriends a priest. He befriends, one of his fellow students. He's going to school at Holy Cross, right? Which is a school across the street, basically, Notre Dame. So he's in the environment, right? He's trying to get as close as he can to it. And he also takes a job working on the field, right? So here he is in the stadium, and he befriends one of the guys who's there as well. And he comes to discover later on that he was actually a player for Notre Dame. Right. Or he had it there and he made some mistakes. So he started to get some people. My point is he gets some people in his life now, in his world, between the priest, a friend and a coworker or boss who have some of that experience, right? Who know what it looks like and again, smells like and feels like to be there. That's a big, big deal, Jack, because you understand. We're not discounting all the impediments in the way and the roadblocks and the challenges. That was true of Rudy. It's true of you if you're going to start or buy a business. Those things are there. But to your point, Jack, those are not insurmountable by any means.
Not at all. If you try and show that effort, find a reason or try to find a way to do it. Because that's often what it takes. It isn't handed to you. And most people, by far the biggest percentage of people, again, well-intentioned, but they haven't been there. They don't know how to advise. So they'll pull you on the safety rock. Come on up here, Adam. Get rid of those thoughts. You aren't going to do it anyway. Right. So you need supportive people to move a lot of these ideas and enthusiastic emotions that you have to try to do something totally different, totally for you, totally... Just, nobody does it. I mean, it gets complex as to why you want to do it. But it's much easier to do it if you have support. But support is slow in coming. It isn't something that's around by very many people. And Rudy's a great example. That's a good movie.
Yeah, there's a, as we're talking about, there's a ton of correlation as it relates to somebody who's trying to start a business. And again, his big why, the reason why he wanted to do it, like you said, it was he saw his friend, you know, die, and he's thinking, hey, I don't want this to be me. He said, I don't know what else is out there, but I know what I don't want is I don't want this. And that may often be the motivator for you. Maybe here you are working a job, Jack, and here you are working a job, and you're just not having fun. It's like work. Okay, so that's one tip off. If going to work every day is like work, it's a good sign that you're probably not in the right spot, the right company, the right whatever. It shouldn't be work. And I was talking to my daughter earlier today, Jack. We talked about her a little bit last week in terms of her art skills. She has very, you know, she has a certain talent and just natural inclination for art. And so I was asking her earlier today because she talks about other classes, but she shouldn't talk about the art class, right? Because the other classes usually there are some frustrations there. And so, well, how about art? She said, well, it's kind of like a break. Right? I said, well, it's a break because you like it. I said, I'm sure there's other people in your class who really thought it might be kind of an easy class, and then they take it and they really don't like it. She goes, yeah, my one friend, yeah, she's complaining about, hey, you know, I don't like my teacher. I don't like what we're doing here. And she's like, well, I love our teacher. I think she's doing a great job, right? So here she is doing something where, again, it's, you know, she's in school, but it's not, it's like having a break during school because it's something that she really likes to do.
And that's so interesting. Very true. Very true, Adam. It's reasons to do, not to not do. And it's much easier when you like something to do rather than not do.
So hearing from a couple of guys who have a little bit of experience with this, Jack, in terms of understanding what it's like to be working a job. You know, as you told your story, you know, in terms of when you decide to leave the corporate world, you can give reasons now 35 years later why you did it. But in terms of when you were there doing it, it just didn't feel right, right? I mean, it felt like it was time to do something different. And so the difference was, instead of just thinking about it and lamenting about it or something else, you actually did something about it, Jack, right? You left. And who in your world thought, hey, what a great idea. Jack's leaving. He's got a couple of young kids and his wife. And what a wonderful idea. You know, just up and leave his job with nothing on the horizon, right? People were saying that. What a great idea, Jack. They're encouraging you, right? Is that what you're kind of reception you're getting? Right.
Well, the most important one, Alice, was supportive. So that worked out okay.
Right.
Everyone else, you're crazy. They didn't even understand what I was talking about. Well, I didn't understand what I was talking about either.
But you had a feeling about it in terms of, hey, you've been through some pretty, you know, pretty impressive stuff in terms of, you know, working for decent sized companies and progressing. And, you know, again, as you talk about, you know, hey, you're, you know, in your suit and tie days, folks. Again, Jack used to wear a suit and tie back in the day. He hasn't done it in a while, but back in those days, and just not, you know, not realizing, you know, you weren't, you know, in the moment you weren't as comfortable. You didn't know why, but again, it was just maybe something new. But upon reflection, you start to realize, hey, there were things that I was feeling that it was just like, hey, just not here. Versus the first time you tell a story about meeting the heat treating guy, you know, the first small company guy, and you're like, instantly fell in love with the guy, right? Again, it's one of those, it's hard to explain, right? But there are things out there, folks, right? So again, if you're one of those people who's, again, it's like work, right? If it's all you can do to drag your butt out of bed in the morning to go to work because it's work, okay, well, either you try to change what you're doing or how you're doing your role, or you got to get out of it. Maybe you are an entrepreneur. Maybe you're somebody who should have your own thing.
Yeah, and again, you're surrounded with can't do it, don't do it, surrounded by it. I mean, it's like 90-10, it seems, to find, you know, 10% chance of finding support for taking on something that's unknown. Because right. It is, it's truly unknown. What are you, crazy? You don't do that. We don't jump into things that are unknown, but we do it all the time. You know, people do all the time. The majority of the workforce does. They don't flap their wings. And they got a bunch of reasons not to do it. No, I got a mortgage now. I got two kids. I can't do it. I got to stay the course. Well, they should think of Rudy when they're getting down and watch that movie. Have it tattooed on their arm.
Yeah, there's always, you can always find reasons not to do stuff, Jack. Mm-hmm. You know, when I left Wall Street almost two decades ago, and they did the same thing, I went and told them what I was doing. Hey, I'm leaving here. I'm going to go start a business with a guy I used to caddy for. They're like, what? What do you mean? Like, well, you're just starting up? Yeah, well, why are you doing that? You know, you have a good paying job. Yeah. Because it's like work, right? And it happens. You know, it can happen quickly. You know. In my case, I had a chance to, you know, start out with a bigger firm and just wasn't quite the right fit. And then I went to a smaller place that felt better. It was a more entrepreneurial place, Jack. Then I went back to a bigger place when Bank of New York bought us. And I was like, it just felt like it was work. And as I looked around and I started to look ahead in my career, and I identified a couple of folks I worked a lot with, and I saw where they were at, and I said, okay, do I want to be there? Again, much like we talk about Rudy. Rudy's looking at his brothers and his dad going, do I want to be a 50-year-old man broken down working the steel mill? And he said, no. Now, what I want to be, he had an idea. He wanted to play football for Notre Dame, and, you know, beyond that, who knows? But he knew where he didn't want to be. So that can often be as big of a motivator, Jack, to kind of move you. Hey, I don't want to be stuck here. So I got to start to maybe kind of make that leap. But to me, that's usually the one sign that it's okay. It's time, is that, you know, your day job's like work. And now the question is, what do you do to get out of that? Because, yeah, you know, you had two young kids and a wife when you left. I had a 6-month pregnant wife, right, with our first kid coming, right? Yeah. And you know, she was on board, you know, and to start, but there's lots of questions, right? You know, over the course of the first few months or the first couple of years as things are kind of getting going, because it's different. But it's, again, it was, you know, I kept having to remind her, here's why we're doing it, right? Here's what we're doing, and things are working this way. And so they could start to kind of see it, but it's not for everybody. For sure.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I had the good fortune, Jack, of having grown up with an entrepreneur, you know, with my dad starting his company and my mom working with them. So I had some good folks to tap into. I had a lot of great experience, you know, in my time, you know, in New York, you know, working with a lot of entrepreneurs as well. So I had a good sense of that. And it started to reinforce some of those things in terms of the happiest folks I talked to, Jack, were many of those entrepreneurs where, again, it wasn't work for them. Right. They just kind of, and that was what I kind of knew growing up. And so, you know, I was fortunate to have that, but many people don't have that, Jack. And so part of what we want to encourage people to do is to start to kind of look out and start to find folks. If you're thinking about starting or buying a company, well, make sure you're talking to people, reach out to people, get involved. There are different places you can go, Jack. There are different groups you can look into. There are different things that are out there, but try to, much like, you know, Rudy moved from his hometown. And he went to school across the street from Notre Dame, right? Because he wanted to be in the environment and just kind of being around it and be able to touch it. He started to kind of learn stuff and things start to happen. So, you know, for you, if you're thinking about that, where do you get involved? You know, how do you get started in terms of trying to find those good people that you can kind of tap into that can help you?
Well, you know somebody who's supportive of you and who isn't. So make choices right there. To try to surround yourself and do things with people who are like-minded in that sense and are supportive and are generally positive themselves. Because that, you know, that kind of charges the battery when you get like-minded people. There's a lot of energy created in the right way. And it's not going to, you're not going to find a lot of them. And there are a lot of groups that are made up with the objective of networking and good people, and, you know, I have my skepticism about all that stuff. It's hard to find committed people who have been in a job their whole life, and they aren't going to necessarily be the ones who are supportive of starting up a new company or buying a company, changing direction like that. Hey, I'll do it when my kids are up and out of school. No, they aren't. Well, they won't do it then. they'll never do it. So the earlier you can start, or if you're totally obsessed with doing this, like Rudy, you don't need support of other people. You know, you really don't when it all comes down to it, because it's going to be you doing whatever it is you're emboldened to do now and want to do it and commit. It's up to you. It's always up to you. But trying to find support, if you can find support people that are legitimate, who think like you, that's a big win, because you aren't going to find many of them. I guarantee it.
Well, you know, a great place to start as I'm listening to you talk there, Jack, is where do you find those people? One of the things we talked about numerous times here on the show, Jack, would be a simple KLT list, right? Our know, like, and trust list.
Correct.
So if you picture that, if you don't have your know, like, and trust list, again, a quick overview. The idea is to get a list of people in your world that you know, like, and trust, that know, like, and trust you, and you know, like, and trust. And as you get that list pulled together, you know, part of it should have, I'm going to guess you also have people on there that own their own companies. And my guess is, Jack, those might be the people you want to start with because they are in the shoes you want to be in, right? So to reach out to those folks and talk to them. And what you'll probably find is, my guess is you can find five people on your list that are like that, Jack, and you call them up and you go out to have lunch with them. I'm going to guess you're going to find some good mentorship and some good guidance from those folks because they like to talk about stuff. These owners like to share and talk, and they often don't know what they say that might help. But again, just them talking through what they did and their experience and what's happened, they're usually very happy to kind of talk and share about stuff, you know?
So, that's good advice. That's very good advice.
So that know, like, and trust is something we come back to a number of times, Jack, because again, it's folks who are in your world already. And part of that, you know, as you talk about it and hear their stories, they'll talk about things that they did. What triggered it for them, right? Did the person you're talking to, was it always the case that they were starting a, you know, they had a paper out when they were a kid and they were starting this company and they were, you know, doing all these things as kids, or did they come do it later in life? And often what you'll hear too is they'll talk about different resources that are out there, Jack. And I know if you'd look around wherever you are, if you search for, you know, local entrepreneur groups or, you know, how to start a business in your town or how to buy a business in your town, you'll start to find some different groups out there. And there's, you know, things like, I know, like just here locally, Jack, we have groups like Jumpstart, which is a nonprofit, helps people kind of pull together ideas and get their company started if that's what they're looking to do. Or you got, you know, groups like the Gorilla Group, which is an entrepreneur group kind of geared towards folks who are looking to buy or sell or start companies. And so each town and in area will have different things. There's things online too, but the idea is to start to kind of get those people. If you pull together, you know, like a trust list, and it's not full of some of those people, we'll start to kind of meet some of those people. Get out.
Sure. They're the automatic support group that you're looking for, because they're interested in those kinds of things being starting up companies and buying companies. And that's where you want to be. You know, the enthusiasm and energy and like-mindedness is a big step to propelling yourself into accomplishing those things. But you're going to find support groups of all types. Almost all your resources are at the couple of groups that you just mentioned. They're there. There are people who do all those things that you need. So it's up to you. If it's up to you, then it's up to you, right? You got to put yourself in the right place. It just doesn't roll down. It doesn't happen very often that somebody gives you a company. Right. And it happens, though. We've seen it happen. We've experienced it in many, many different ways. So,
well, and hopefully, as we're listening to this, Jack, one of the good ways to find some information too, or meet some of these good people, is through podcasts. All right. So there's a lot of great expertise out there in terms of podcasts, in terms of information out there for how to do stuff and different stories that are out there. And so there's different stories about different entrepreneurs. And what's beautiful is that, you know, it doesn't matter. You don't need to hear the story about a Elon Musk or a Bill Gates or Bezos kind of guy, right? Yeah, it'd be somebody you've never even heard about that has a company that's doing $1 million, $2 million in sales. You never heard of before, but they're exactly what you want to be because what they're doing and their story, you know, resonates or relates to you. You know, and so it's one of those things that the more you can kind of take in, the more time you can kind of spend there. Again, that visual, could go back to Rudy, Jack, that visual of being at Holy Cross, where again, I can see it. It's across the river there. Yeah, there it is, Jack. I can see the promised land, right? And so if you get yourself into those roles, you get with those kind of people, it's a very different discussion. And it's amazing that how just through, as you're listening to people talk, again, something that's second nature to them is a aha moment to you. Like, oh, that's how that works. So, oh, you can do that. Like, whatever it might be, where it's, they're like, oh, that was your big nugget. Okay, well, let's kind of go.
Yeah, it just puts more fuel in the tank. That's what it does. It gets you pumped up. Yeah, you leave these meetings and you have new ideas, new thoughts to pursue. You have somebody who's again like minded, and you can just get all excited when you're together with the two of you. So that's how you do it.
Right. So we find inspiration, Jack, in lots of different places. And I think that the main message here is, again, you know, anything's possible. If you want it, that's one of the reasons why Rudy's so inspirational, Jack, is if you can imagine it and dream it, you can usually find a way to make it happen if you're determined to make it happen.
I agree.
It's key to find people in your world that have been there to do what you want to do. And when it comes to buying or starting a company, you want to be talking to people that have been there and done that, you know, preferably who are still doing that, to kind of get a sense from them and get those folks in your world. If you don't have them in your world already, Start to look beyond those family and friends you have. Start to expand your know, like and trust list to get those folks in there that can, again, be very, very helpful with you as you're going along this process to either buy or start your own company.
Very good. Yes.
All right.
Yes to all those positive moves.
All right. So that's our show for today. Thanks for joining us. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, which is dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. If you have some questions or thoughts in between, you feel free to reach out. You can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. So lots of ways to get in touch with us to be part of the show or get some of your questions answered. And that's our show for this week. And we'll have some new stuff coming up for you next week. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you, Adam.
That's right. Everybody have a great week.